Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better act somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper don, giving a moment, dress like a million bucks, bucks, things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together. Oh, listen, Steve Harvey. Why don't you join me?
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Oh, yeah, man. Got a radio show. Do you understand that? I'm telling you, God been big in my life. I'm not going to kid you. I'm telling you, and he'll do the same thing for you. God is a gentleman. You know, I want to point that out to you. God is an absolute gentleman. He will not come in unless he's invited. He don't just barge into your life. He gives us the power of choice. You know, if you say you got it, I don't need you, he lets you have it. If you say, I need you, come see about me, he right there. It's just a real simple thing, man. So I always say to people this, if you've gotten yourself into something, and please know I have. That's why I'm so adamant about it. Because I've gotten myself in some circumstances and positions in my life. And boy, let me tell you something. I've had some low moments, man. I've had some moments where I did not know what to do. I didn't know what was next. I didn't know how to go about it. I didn't have no more ideas. I was stuck. I thought a couple of times, well, might not make it past this one. But then if I don't make it past it, what's going to happen? And then I held on to this little thing that my mother kept talking to me about. She said, sometimes, son, when you ain't got nothing else in you, just hope. She said, just hope it'll be all right. You know, and what I've learned in my life is that hope is the beginning of faith. Hope is just, is there a possibility out there for me? I sure hope something happened. See, hope is okay, man. Because like I say, for me, the way I've lived my life, hope was the beginning of faith. It was just the idea. It's just the thought that something could change for me. That something could be a little bit different for me. That maybe, man, just maybe, for some reason, I could be saved. I could be rescued. Things could turn around. It could head in the other direction. Maybe I could quit messing up. Maybe somebody will forgive me. Maybe somebody will just say, all right, I don't know. But I can't count the times I've been in that position. But then once I hope a little bit, and then I remember also my mother, because she was a Sunday school teacher. She taught me the most valuable lesson I've ever learned in my life. Nothing has been greater in my life than my faith. She taught me to pray. Mama used to say, when it get real dark for you, son, prayer changes things. She said, when you seem like you lost and you can't find your way, stop and pray. She said, because prayer changes things. You know, when you get a point in your life when you've done all you can do and you can't do no more and you just don't know what to do next, she said, stop, son, pray. And combine that prayer with that hope that you got. She said, because that hope is the beginning of faith. She said, if you pray just hoping, she said, if God come through for you, that'll give you confidence that he can do it again. And then after a while, you quit hoping. She said, you start believing. She said, and that's when you're on to something. If you can turn that hope into belief, that hope into faith, the ability to believe in something that you can't see. But the key, though, to faith is you're believing in something that you can't see. See, hoping a little bit different for me. Now, I'm pretty sure, like I say oftentimes, I tell a lot of people who can explain this thing a lot better than I can to you. But just from my side of it, being as real as I can be with you. See, hope helps, man. If you ain't strong enough to have faith, have hope. And then if you pray with some hope and God answers your prayer, then that hope gains a little confidence. And after a while, that confidence becomes faith. Now, it ain't just hoping, but I'm believing. I'm believing in something that I cannot see. Faith has been the key to my entire existence, even when I didn't have any. It was faith, as I look back on it, that has gotten me here. And not just faith, but my faith. See, you will only get to where you're going in your life based on your faith. See, a lot of people get the word faith confused. Like, what's your faith? And then they start going down this whole list of all these different religions out here. But really, in essence, man, when I talk to people about faith, I'm talking to you about your belief. How much do you believe in the unseen? How much do you believe in the things you can't see? How much do you believe in the impossible? How much do you believe? See, because faith is the belief in things that you cannot see. Faith is the core of all that is happening to me today. It is the faith that I have in my relationship with God that enables me to just oftentimes, if I stay on the right course and believe a certain way and act a certain way, his blessings just pour. They just come. And it comes in a lot of little ways, too, I've started to notice. See, it ain't just, a lot of people think blessings is money. Man, that ain't it. It's coverage. It's every time my plane lands safe. It's every time they predict bad weather and I get up in the sky and it don't be no bad weather. You know, this is favor. These are blessings that get poured out to me. Somebody call me and offer me something. Not money, but an opportunity. You know, somebody say, hey, man, I don't know, but I sent this to you. I thought you might be interested in it. Somebody will send me a scripture or somebody will send me something. That's favor. And it always comes at a time when I need it the most. That's favor. That's pouring out blessings. Now, I'm also the recipient of a lot of other blessings, too. You know, I've been blessed with health. That's amazing blessing, man. I've been blessed with a spirit of not quitting. I've been blessed with the ability to shoulder huge amounts of responsibility. See, blessings come a lot of ways. But once you tie in to God, once you tie in and you start doing the best you can do and you start asking for him to make you a better person, to help shape and mold you into the kind of man or person that he wants you to be, you'd be amazed what God can do with you, man, if you just invite him in and allow him to be a part of your life. I mean, what you got to lose out there? Come on. If you're sitting in the cell this morning, why would you not change? I watch these shows about men locked up all the time who waiting they get in their 40s and they decide, man, I'm tired of this. I've lived most of my life behind these bars. When I get out this time, man, I'm going to get it right. Why you got to wait till you 40? I mean, when you're 40, it's cool. Get yourself together whenever it happens. But, man, do you know that you were not created to live behind bars? God didn't make you that way. But if you've gotten yourself into that position, though, see, now you got to do the best you can. But ain't no need to look at God being mad at it. We'd have made all of our decisions, got us to where we at today. You have a chance to turn your life around with a relationship with God. What you waiting on? Are you going to just keep doing it like that, huh? Really? Come on, man. Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you not allow God to be a part of your life so you can get to where he wants you to be? God got some big plans for you. If he didn't, you wouldn't keep waking up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people from all around the world, this is it. This is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to an adventure. It's like amusement park ride. It's thrilling. It has ups and downs, and it'll throw you if you ain't careful. Morning, Shirley.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Steve. Hey,
Junior.
Morning, Unc.
J. Anthony.
Buckle up. We're going to the high parts.
Fool.
Yay, yay. What up, Unc?
Yeah. Happy Martin Luther King Day to everybody yesterday. Hope you enjoyed your time off.
Yeah. Did you serve? Mm-hmm.
Thought about something, you know, positive. Mm-hmm.
I know.
You just don't know what to say.
Because you never know what's going to happen. You go to sleep, you wake up, it's something else.
Somebody said on CNN, do you think that Donald Trump has changed the way the presidency will be from now on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if he's changed it from now. He's certainly changed it for now.
Yes. Yes, he has.
And it's alarming. I tell you what's really kind of throwing me, though.
What, Steve?
Is the way his constituents, the way his Republican Party, not his base even.
Oh, his
but
party.
But the other Republicans who really know better, but are trying, they have to explain this away. And they explain it away with the dumbest remarks, man. And you can sit there and know that they know in their heart of hearts this ain't right, but it becomes a bipartisan issue, and they just find a way to side. And that's why I am so done with politics at this point. I am really at an all-time high in terms of frustration. I will always vote, but I am done with politics. I don't believe none of them.
Steve, let me ask you this. Does the truth matter anymore?
No, not really.
Does it matter?
No.
From you have two guys who said they didn't hear anything, and now they switch it up and said he didn't say it.
Yeah, first they said they didn't recall.
Yeah, they don't recall.
They didn't recall. They were in the meeting.
They were in the room, right.
When he said the S-hole comments, they were in the meeting. They said they didn't recall. Then they came back and just blatantly said, no, he didn't say it.
Yeah, but that's Trump's policy. That's how Trump has functioned since he's been in the White House. He's lied from day one, from crowd sizes.
Yeah.
So that's what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can he even go to these countries now? Can he even go to Africa, Haiti?
No, they don't want him to.
I would like for him to.
He don't want to go.
By
the time he get through, he's not going to be able to lead the states by the time he get through.
He doesn't want to. We can't go.
Yeah. He wants to go to Norway.
He made that clear.
Yeah.
when we come back, I'm going to say what I think about him. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit different from what other people have said, but after giving it a lot of thought over the weekend, I just want to say something about it.
Okay.
It may not be as pointed as people are expecting, but these are just my thoughts about it.
All right. You heard him. We'll be back, and Steve will talk more about his opinion of the president and his comments over these last few days. We'll be back at 32 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve. You wanted to talk about your thoughts on what the president had to say.
You know what? I've listened to everybody say everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the big question, and one of the reporters, as he was finishing up a speech, she yelled out, "Mr. President, are you a racist?" Yeah. And he kept walking. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that on the caption of CNN. I've seen other leaders from the world say he's a racist. I've seen Van Jones, Bakari Sellers, all of them. And they're correct in what they're saying. When he says on the other side, "I'm the least racist person you'll ever interview." You know what, man? This guy is different, because let me tell you why. First of all, I really truly believe in my heart that Donald Trump does not know the definition of racism.
You don't think so?
I don't think he knows the definition of racism, because he is convinced in his heart of heart that that's not him. He has no concept of the definition of racism. He doesn't know he's over there. He thinks, I truly believe in his heart of hearts, that he believes that he's not a racist. He thinks that because he can say this or say that, or he feels this or that, that that's not racist. It's the norm for people like this.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's the norm. It doesn't have a title to it of racism. It's the norm for people like this. Now, I think that people should call a spade a spade. I think that people should call him out. But I'm looking at this guy and getting him a little bit more and more and more. Like, I'm still shocked at what he does and says. You know, these people are killing me talking about, I'm never shocked at what he says. You got to be. you
How can you not be?
It's impossible not to be stunned at the way this is going and have the title President of the United States attached to your name. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. Uh-huh. And that's what it carries. Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton. It carries that. You would think he would act up to that, but he is incapable of acting up when he's been acting this way for 70 years. With money. This man has never had a poor day in his life. Bill Clinton understands what it is to be middle class and below. Barack Obama was a servant of the people. Jimmy Carter, a peanut farmer. These people have an idea. He does not have a clue. So, another thing about him, he knows nothing about the history of our country. So, get this. This is my answer. He thinks he's not a racist. And he does not know anything about the history of our country. He can't. He can't possibly.
Well, you don't even know.
He does. He doesn't read. Everybody says that. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
If this country had not forcibly removed millions of Africans from their homeland, who came over here and built this country at absolutely no cost to those American people, his forefathers, at no cost to them, but who paid the ultimate price,
yes, sir.
They freedom, they life, they dignity, they culture, they education, all of it stripped, family, stripped, gone, sold. They paid the ultimate price, but now you don't want them here. That's an amazing thing to me. When your forefathers went over there and forcibly removed them, now you don't want them here. Now, here's the other part. Them Africans is us.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, see, that's that, part
that's
of
a
the
deplorable
major part.
Part
of the problem. Yeah.
We happen to be African Americans. We relate to them. When we go to Africa, we cry when we get there.
Yes, we do.
Because we can't believe that we are finally back home to a place we've never been, which is our home. He cannot understand that. There's no concept of it. He ain't read about it. Black history wasn't a part of his upbringing. This dude does not know the definition of racism, because racism for him is the norm. It's the norm. Man, you got to go to these country clubs and see how these people think. It's not racism to them. It's the norm. It's racism to us because we know what it is. But to them, it's the norm. They were not taught this is not right, that this ain't the way it go. Why do you think he repeats over and over and over just ridiculous stuff that comes out of his mouth? Because he don't know it's ridiculous. He don't. He thinks it's norm. Let's ban all the Muslims. That's natural to him. They've been talking about this on the golf course for years. Now he the president and he can do it. That tax bill he just passed, they've been talking about that for years. And let me tell you something about this tax bill. You know who it really benefits? Corporations. Yeah. But guess who it really, really benefits? Who? People who are in real estate.
Which is where he come from.
And which is what he is.
Yeah.
It really, really benefits real estate. I've had my tax people strip this thing down because I tried to get a piece of this. But this dude right here, he's just there. Yeah. He don't get it. So you have a person that's the president of the United States that don't get it. And you know what? It's they fault because they voted for it.
Yep. Or didn't vote at all.
Oh, yeah.
But for more so, they voted for him. They voted for him. Well, I mean, no, he lost by 3 million popular votes.
And a vote just, was a yes vote to him.
And I think that's where he is. I think that's the guy. So.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you for that. We'll talk more about it, I'm sure, throughout the morning. We'll get back on track now with Nephew Tommy coming up, your prank right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here to update us on today's national news and our headlines. But right now, as promised, it is time for the nephew and his prank.
My refrigerator.
That one.
You have to say it like that, though.
My refrigerator.
He needs to have that refrigerator.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach Mr. B, please.
Who is it?
Mr. B, this is Jackson. I'm the driver, man. I'm actually the delivery guy that's bringing your refrigerator over today.
Okay, what's going on?
Okay, listen, I know we had a window that was from 8 to 12 this morning. It's 11:30 now. So we're running a little bit behind schedule, man. We have some problems at the yard getting everything loaded up.
Man, come on, man. You killing me. I can't. Y'all running behind.
We're a little bit behind schedule, man. We'll be there somewhere between 12 and 4.
Oh, come on, man. Y'all got to do better than that, man. Man, I'm with my job.
I understand, sir. I understand. Actually, it's...
I got all my food in here and coolers and stuff, man. I got ice everywhere, man. Come on. So, what's going on? Y'all ain't got the refrigerator? I'm trying to figure out.
No, we loaded up, you know. We just had some problems. I think one of the forklifts went out, and, you know, it kind of pushed us back. So that four-hour window we had from 8 to 12, man, just got ruined, and now we're pushing things from 12 to 4. So between 12 and 4, man, we would definitely be there.
Man, y'all have to do better than that. I spoke to yesterday.
He's actually the warehouse supervisor. He's actually out today. He's not here.
Yeah, man. God, I'm supposed to be at work at 1 o'clock. You said y'all ain't gonna be here till in between 12 and 4. I'm supposed to be at work at 1 o'clock.
I understand it, man. I greatly apologize, man. It this rarely happens, and it just so happened this morning the forklift was down and we had a lot of stuff to load up. You know, I got 10 refrigerators on this truck, man, and one of them's definitely yours, sir. So I'm definitely gonna be getting it to you as soon as I can.
Man, y'all man, y'all pushing it because I'm supposed to be at work. And then I done scheduled everything else around this because I'm supposed to, you know, I got to have my refrigerator because I got all my food and stuff sitting in here in the kitchen and whatnot.
Your refrigerator went out? Did it go? Your refrigerator went out? Is that what happened?
Yes, sir. It so did. I mean, I hadn't had it for quite some time, so, you know, so it's just a matter of time for it to go out. So I decided to go ahead and get a new one, you know.
Right.
So that's why
I can schedule you next week sometime if you want me to.
No. I mean, I can't afford it. We're going to pay for this food that I got in here all over the floor.
Let me get the hustling, man, see if I can move as quick as I can. But 12 to 4 is the window, man. I like I said, I apologize, Mr. B. But we'll be there, man. We're gonna be there with your refrigerator today, okay?
Okay, so when you on your way, how about I want you to call me and let me know that you're on your way so I know what's going on.
We don't normally call when we're on our way. We just come on in and get things set up.
What do you mean you don't call? Why not? You just called me just now, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You called me then. Make no sense.
Like I said, the problem is on us. Man, I'll give you a call when we en route, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that. Now, you said between 12 and 4 now.
Yes, sir. Between 12 and 4, we definitely be there. We got you on the truck, man.
Okay. I don't want no mess, man.
No, we got you. We'll see you in a minute, man.
All right.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Mr.
Who is this?
This is Jackson again, the delivery guy, man, with the refrigerator. Listen, Mr. Baptiste, man, we run into a few more problems here, man. It looks like we're probably not going to get that refrigerator out till tomorrow sometime.
You said what?
We run into a few more problems, man. It looks like we're probably not going to get that refrigerator out till tomorrow sometime.
You done ran into a few more problems. A few more problems like what?
Sir, we got some problems with some more deliveries we got. Just with all the deliveries we got, it just don't seem we're going to make it on your side of town to be able to get this thing taken
care of. You're not going to make it on my side of town. What kind of is that? You decide you want to take my money when I pay for it, but you gonna tell me you ain't gonna make it on my side of town.
Well, we can definitely get out there tomorrow, man. We definitely can get out there tomorrow.
I can't have my refrigerator out here tomorrow. I got chicken and beef and brisket and all over here in my flow, and you gonna tell me you can't make it in here till tomorrow? What kind of is that, huh? Sir, you ain't got no answer for me on that.
Sir, I understand.
No. I don't think you understand, son. Because I got food and ice sitting in here and coolers and all over my floor in my kitchen. You gonna tell me that you can't make it in here till tomorrow with my refrigerator because you yelling on the back around. Now where is
no.
I spoke to yesterday? Now where is that? Where is
it? I know you spoke to Larry.
I told him yesterday I had to have my at work at 1:00. I told him that. I said now you gotta have that refrigerator here on time because I gotta have my at work.
Well, like I said, we've had some setbacks.
So where is I don't talk to you no more. Where is
Like I said, sir, not working today. He's not in today.
So who in charge?
Well, actually, the lady named one that's actually in charge, and when Larry leaves, but I don't even know if I saw morning.
Oh,
but
you raggedy, you, what are y'all doing over there? Now, when I spoke, then we gonna have it there. It was between 8 and 12. Now, I done took off my job, but y'all had a refrigerator here. I'm here at home. Now you call me back.
Sir, all I can tell you is we're going to be there tomorrow, okay? I'm not going to go back and forth.
You say you're not going to go back. You know what? You, that refrigerator. So, all of y'all, you take that refrigerator, and you take that refrigerator up your up, and up. I don't want the no more. I can go around and put this food in my neighbor's refrigerator, and I'm going to go get me another from somewhere else, because you playing around. I ain't got time for your mess.
Sir, I don't know if that's refundable.
You know what I mean? What the you mean you don't know if it's refundable? You got time. You gonna take my money and you gonna tell me that I can't have my money back and you can't get my refrigerator on here on time.
Sir, listen. There's one more thing I need to tell you.
Thing to say to me because I don't want to talk no more.
Okay, but I have one more thing I need to tell you, okay? Are you listening?
What?
This will probably help everything.
What?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your wife.
You know what? I'm gonna fix her. So, but where the hell is my refrigerator? That's what I want to know. I tell you what, they showed up their refrigerator. I showed them that where they can put it.
That is refrigerator.
When you buy something, you want it right away. You don't want to hear this.
But he sounds so
proud. You don't want to hear this.
Got to be stupid, y'all. Yep. Somebody got to be stupid this morning. I chose myself. Y'all cool with that?
You did it. Yeah,
it's every morning, though.
You do it every day.
Yeah. I don't know how it was a choice.
Yeah.
I chose
you won that
myself.
Vote.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we all voted for you.
I want to make a correction to his ignorance and stupidity.
Oh, okay, Uncle Steve. Go right ahead.
I hear him saying he chose this. Mm-hmm. Tommy was born this
way. Yeah. Wait a minute.
See right there, what way? He don't know. He the Donald Trump of comedy.
He the Donald Trump.
Now that's cold.
You really is. You're the Donald Trump of ignorance. Because you don't know.
You have no clue.
It's the norm for you.
West Palm Beach, Florida. Here I come to the Improv Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'm going to be just as stupid as they saying I am. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, West Palm Beach this week, baby. Get your tickets. They on sale right now. The nephew is coming to town. And I'm gonna try to be most stupid.
You got to try, boy.
Yeah, tell me.
I'm going to be most stupid.
Did you not hear what your uncle just said?
Basically, that's like a stupid sandwich. You know what I'm saying? I lay that bread out first. That's my bottom layer of the stupid. Put that mayo on, and I keep it stupid. By 30 minutes into it, I'm laying that meat on there. It's even more stupid. This is a stupid sandwich coming together. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
I'm,
might
want to
use the word just next time you do that. Just tell them how funny you're going to be, how hard they're going to land. Just,
yeah.
You know.
Well, see, they do that when I act stupid. See, I'm a genius, huh? You just don't realize.
Hey, listen, coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann is going to be here with our national news. And we'll have highlights from last night's 49th, guys, 49th annual NAACP Image Award.
Which he'll never get.
Thanks.
Wow.
Junior.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Last night was the 49th annual NAACP Image Awards. It was hosted by our good friend Anthony Anderson. What a great job he did and always does when he hosts.
He won an award, too.
And he won an award, right?
Blackish.
Yes. As you know, the Image Awards recognize exceptional work by people of color in film, TV, music, and literature. Danny Glover received the Presidential Award for his professional and philanthropic achievements. I saw Danny Glover over the weekend in Proud Mary with Taraji P. Henson. He played a bad guy, and was he really good?
It was a good movie.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Taraji did her thing.
She
yes.
Really did.
Yes, it did.
The kill count is really high in that movie.
The
kill count. I love
that's
a movie with a high kill count, man.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, for Proud Mary.
Now, there was
too.
A lot of scenes where she should have been dead, but she didn't die.
No, she didn't die. She's got to do part two coming out. Yeah. Other winners and nominees include our girl Tiffany Haddish, Issa Rae, Idris Elba. Bruno Mars.
I think they just give him an award just so you can do that.
Idris Elba.
In your Oprah voice. Yeah. Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. You get an Idris. You get an Idris.
She tried to do. She tried to do Oprah Wynn.
That's Oprah Wynn. That's
was
Oprah.
It? I didn't know.
Yeah, that that's Oprah's voice.
Oh, you know who else won?
Who?
Naturi Naughton.
No, who?
Tasha in Power. In Power.
Oh, she
yes,
won. Good
yes,
for her.
She won. Yes. So good. Yes, yes, yes.
And you
yes.
said the guy for Get Out, he won too, right?
Oh, yeah, Jordan Peele.
Yes. Jordan Peele almost made me turn against white women. That movie was so damn scary. It really was.
Get Out?
Get Out. It's like I almost gave him up, but then I'm like, hey, it's
right
just
now,
a
I'm
movie.
I'm going to ask you to get
it's
out,
it's just
though.
A movie.
I want you out.
White thing. Seriously, ain't it? I almost gave up white women.
I almost gave up white
again,
get
you
your
get
boy,
out.
Steve.
But I would like, it's just a movie.
It's just a movie.
Now, Shirley, you know what looked good?
What?
Black Lightning.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
the TV series.
It's coming on tonight.
I got it. It looks really good.
I got to see that. I looked at it. I ain't know. Yeah. When he had the mask on yes. with the beard, I went, hey, man, that looked like my uncle.
Yeah. You know who that guy was? He played Queen Latifah's boyfriend in Living Single, right?
Mm-hmm.
He Black Lightning?
Yeah, he's Black Lightning.
He's Black Lightning.
My luck, first episode, he shocked his damn self and won't be but one show.
Stop that.
Because he just got the power. He don't understand it.
Big ups to Black Lightning.
Yeah. It looks good. It looks good. It really does. It looks good.
All right, so let me finish with the NAACP Image Awards. I don't think I mentioned the New Edition story. They were nominated. And here are some more highlights from last night's awards.
And the Image Award goes to... Octavia Spencer, Gifted.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to?
My padre, Anthony Anderson, Blackish.
And the NAACP Image Award belongs to HU's Taraji P. Henson from Empire.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yes!
And the Image Award goes to
Omari Hardwick.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to
Blackish.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to
Power. And the NAACP Image Award goes to my man Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to Girls Trip.
And the winner of the NAACP Entertainer of the Year, sponsored by Ford, is Ava DuVernay.
All right. I mean, what can you say? It was just a great show last night. Really, really great.
Charlie Wilson
won. Yeah, congratulations. And what a great speech.
Charlie, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great speech he had, too.
I was waiting for him to go.
You gotta have that part.
Miss Ann is here, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here. Our very own Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you. Thank guys. Good morning, everybody. Ooh, I'm so glad Power won something for a change. Anyway, this is Ann Tripp with the news. While the back and forth continues over President Trump's referring to certain black and brown countries in crude terms, the president's insisting that he did not use the vulgar term for excrement. But in Washington, D.C. yesterday, Martin Luther King III called him out on it.
He refers to countries such as Nigeria and Haiti and El Salvador as, y'all know that word, I don't talk like that. Y'all know what he said. He's saying he didn't, but he always does it.
King added that in November, voters can change the, quote, moral complexion of this country. Several people still missing in the aftermath of last week's deadly mudslides in affluent Montecito, California. At least 20 people have been killed, and now rescue efforts have turned into recovery efforts. They're looking for at least 8 other people. The U.S. Coast Guard says an investigation is going to be conducted into what caused Sunday's fire aboard a casino shuttle boat off Florida's Gulf Coast that killed one passenger and left 15 others experiencing chest pains and smoke inhalation. According to Port Richey Police Chief Geraldo Cano,
the passengers were able to jump off, but the ship was fully engulfed as the passengers were jumping off.
In all, some 50 people were on board. The shuttle boat in question routinely carries people back and forth to a casino cruise ship. According to a report in the Daily Mail, more troubling accusations now being leveled at actor Kevin Spacey. Now, Spacey, who was fired from the Netflix drama House of Cards a couple of months back after a man accused him of making unwanted sexual advances in him when he was only 14, Spacey is now accused of being a racist. Head of a security firm accuses Spacey of using the N-word when telling his personal security manager he didn't want any black security guards on his set, and that Spacey refused to shake hands of any black security guards. The black-owned security firm eventually was its contract was not renewed, and they say they intend to sue Kevin Spacey for loss of income. Tops of the weekend box office still Jumanji, which made another $27 million. And sad news, legendary gospel great Edwin Hawkins has died. Edwin Hawkins died early yesterday morning in his home in Pleasanton, California, after losing a battle against pancreatic cancer. The Edwin Hawkins singers reached the top 10 of the pop charts with their huge crossover hit, Oh Happy Day. When Jesus was. Happy Day became an international hit in 1969. Edwin Hawkins was 74 years old. Eugene the Butterfly coming up 20 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve, please introduce Jay.
J. Anthony Brown.
And your attitude is just wrong.
You have to care.
No, it's perfect.
And he's right.
It's the new year. Yeah. And I'm, ladies and gentlemen, J. Anthony Brown.
And I'm going to do it right for the whole entire year. I'm not going to play around with his intro. I'm going to sing it like it should be sung.
Okay.
Do you know the butterfly? Because I do.
Very good. Good morning, everyone. Stephen, Tommy, Shirley, Carla Jr. to Anthony Brown. Good morning.
What happened
good morning.
I was ready for
good morning. No concert today. I'm really
good morning,
got some
butterfly. Flutter, flutter, baby.
Good morning,
Shirley.
You can slow down. I'm not going to sing. Go ahead. Take your
he's
time.
He's scared, isn't
yeah,
he?
Well, I have something I want to ask Mr. Harvey because I'm so excited. Stephen, if you could see it in your heart, I would really, really like you to give me a shot. I think, like, they have this thing called Black Lightning coming out. I want to do pink
like
lightning. I want to be a superhero. I want to do pink lightning instead of black lightning. And I just think that if you get behind me and be my producer, this will be good. We could have a great TV show called Pink Lightning, and I would be a superhero going and saving people and, you know, rescuing people. Just doing good.
You don't have a superhero body.
Well, do you have any powers?
Yeah, what's the powers of pink lightning?
Well, yeah, man, what pink lightning do? Power.
Pink lightning is lightning. Like, first of all, Tommy don't like lightning, but pink lightning is.
But they're not gonna show them.
So it's really gonna create a problem. But anyway, pink. You know, I'm a lightning bolt, and I get there real fast, like lightning. But I can throw lightning bolts as well. So that's my power, Shirley, as I got lightning in my hands.
Oh,
but you don't have that though.
What do you mean?
What you mean?
You don't have no power in your hands. You ain't fast. Where are we building this show on?
It's make believe, Stephen. Yeah. We just gonna make believe. If we get all of the things we need, then people gonna they gonna show that lightning coming out of me.
What does your outfit look like? What is pink
it's
lightning?
Pink. Oh yeah, my God! I want to hear pink, this. And it's got a lightning bolt across the chest. Mm-hmm. It has a rhinestone pink belt. Oh my God!
I'm against this.
Right,
against the show.
Pink is for breast cancer awareness. It's not a good look. You have to get another color. Pink is for breast cancer awareness. Okay. And you're not going to shame that beautiful thing that these people are trying so hard.
Well, no, I'm not trying to shame that.
But it will if you put this pink on.
But it's the color of my lightning. It's pink. You can't change.
Lightning pink.
You'll take your lightning away.
You can't change my lightning color, Steve. Don't do that. It's pink lightning. It's just I need to change it to what?
I can't be involved in that.
Okay, well then, how about I just be turquoise? Would turquoise work? Will you sign on?
Turquoise lightning.
I love
turquoise lightning. Yeah. You don't see it coming. I think that's a good electrical look. Turquoise lightning.
Maybe it needs a little work, Butterfly. Listen, coming up after the break, we got to go. Sorry about that. 34 after.
For turquoise lightning.
Comedy Roulette coming up next.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Right, here we go. Time for Comedy Roulette. First one of the new year, Jay.
First one of the new year. Can I start off by saying tonight, mm-hmm. Chris Spencer, J-Spot Comedy Club, Los Angeles, California. Get your tickets on Eventbrite. Here we go with Comedy Roulette. Here's how we do this. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm. It's easy.
Give us five subjects.
Five.
Put the subjects on one wheel.
Mm-hmm. Throw them up there.
I like to say this part. Where they stop. Where they stop, we do the damn thing.
Okay.
Wherever they stop, we do the damn thing.
Ready?
Bring it.
All right.
You're holding us up. We ready.
Number one. White people and their dogs.
That could be good.
I want that one.
Okay. Two. Here we go. Nasty food.
That's good. We can make that work.
Steve?
Yeah.
You listen, Steve? All right. Mm-hmm. Number three, you got way too much weed.
Oh, I got that one. That's good.
Oh, wow.
Give me that's that my one, favorite. Please.
Okay, I'm just going to say I had nothing to do with number four. I'm not in this. Number four, women who can't cook.
Whatever, y'all, about you.
Whatever, with your little wheel. Five, people who come to your house unexpectedly.
I like that one a lot. I really like that. Mm-hmm. Spun the wheel. Spun it.
All right, let's go, Kat.
Spun it.
It better not stop.
Come on, women who can't cook.
Don't cook it.
Come on.
Number three, you got way too much weed.
Let me start this bad boy off. First of all, you know you got way too much weed. If you spend the entire day, all day of the day doing this right here, Puh.
And what is puh?
You spitting out hair. Uh-huh. Go ahead on, man.
I tell you what. I know people like this.
Uh-huh.
But I'm telling you, you got way too much weave. When you leave the bathroom, and we mistake you for the dog. Who let the dog in here?
Damn.
Who the hell let the dog?
Wow. Come on, Neff. What you got?
All right. You know you got too much weed. When you sticking your whole hand in there to scratch your head and it disappear. Where did your hand go? Where's your hand?
It's way too much weed.
Come on, Steve.
You know you got too much weed when you spend the majority of your time patting your head like you trying to think of something.
You know you got too much weave in your head. Mm-hmm. When you get your hair done and the lady says, we're going to need 15 packs of hair.
Yeah.
Get you that link.
Yeah. You got to get that.
Get that link you want.
You know, you got way too much weed. Well, we can't keep nothing hot next to your head. Because every time... You sit around. We got to worry about you catching on fire. Yes. We can't light nothing around you. You can't be in the kitchen. You got way too much weed. We got to be constantly concerned.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
There you go. You got way too much weed when you got to go outside and use the yard rake. We got to get this rake outside.
Way too much. Way too much.
Too much weed.
Come on, Steve.
You got too much weed when every time you see a Korean person, you hide from them because you think you owe them money.
Ooh, yucky hair. Yeah. Give me some of that yucky
hair. Go ahead. Come on. You
bundle.
You know you got way too much weed when you get in your car and to close your door to back out, and you can't see a damn thing.
Mm-hmm. You got too much weed.
It's all in the mirror.
It's all in the mirror.
You know, you got way too much weed, and I want to be intimate with you, but I got to separate your hat to look you in your eye. I got to find you.
Come on, Steven.
I got to dig off in here.
Close it out.
Close it out, Steve. Close it out.
You got too much weed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you done got into church play, and they want you to be cousin it.
From the Adam. Thank you so much.
Way too much weight.
Way too much.
Great as usual.
Way too much.
All right, coming up, Nephew Tommy and a prank phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, we'll have today's Strawberry Letter. You do not want to miss that. But up next, it's the Nephew here with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Right now?
Right here, right now.
Okay, well, right now then, church fees.
Huh?
Church fees.
Okay.
Church fees.
Somebody gonna get hurt.
Yeah. Brand new year.
Mm-hmm. Some of y'all owe a little tithing right now. Mm-hmm. Church fees.
How you owe?
In January.
Oh.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Sister Tracy.
Hey, you got her. Hey.
How you doing? This is Brother Glenn from the church.
Hey, Brother Glenn. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm real good. Did you enjoy service this morning?
Oh, I enjoyed it. Pastor. Woo! Pastor brought it down.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Oh, my God. That was a word for me.
Right.
So, what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
I wanted to give you some information that the church has come up with, and we wanted to let you know what was going on before next Sunday. I didn't interrupt you, did I?
No. I may sound a little off a little bit. I'm trying to get dinner ready for my little babies, my little darlings, and I'm trying to. Your voice sounds so familiar to me. It just sounds so familiar. I'm trying to place that voice.
Okay. Well, you've seen me at the church quite a few times.
I think I have. I'm just trying to place it. I can't place it right now. But what can I do, Glenn?
Well, nevertheless, I just wanted. Here's what's going on. Now, are you aware that for the last 6 Sundays, you've been actually coming into service late? Have you realized that?
Yes, I know. I'm sorry about that, but yes, I have. I have my reasons, though.
Okay. Well, here's what's going on. The officials at the church have gotten together, and this is what they've decided on: is that anybody who is late starting next Sunday, there will be a $15 charge for that. For coming in and disrupting service. Pastor's tired of service being disrupted by people walking in late.
That could not come at a worse time. I don't have $15 to give. No, I don't have it. Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we're late. I am. We are doing our best. I have three kids. I have three young kids, 2, 7, and 9, and they are a handful, and we do the best that we can to get to church on time, and to tell you the truth, when we get there, it's during praise and worship. I mean, Pastor ain't even preaching yet, so.
Okay, I know it's not, Pastor's not up yet, but he's stating that people coming in, it just seems very disruptive to the service that's going on. So nevertheless, like I said, this is a warning call, you know, to let you know that if you are late on next Sunday, then they will be charging you $15 a late charge, and actually you won't be able to even come in until you pay the $15.
I can't even get in church with look. Okay, look, I don't owe nothing. I don't owe you no explanation, but I need to tell you something. we are, me and my kids, for the last few Sundays that we've been late, it's because my car broke down. We are on the bus, man. Public transportation.
Okay. I mean, I sympathize with everything that you're going through.
But why are you calling, if you understand, why are you calling me about $15 if you understand what I'm going through?
Well, I didn't know what you were going, why are you raising your voice at me? Did you just raise your voice at me?
You know what? You know what? I think you're raising your voice at me. How dare you call me about this, about a fee? And I'm there at church. I got my kids there trying to raise them up in the way they should go, just like the Bible say. And you know why I got to do this and why I'm late, why we got to catch the bus. Do you understand why that is, Brother Glenn?
No, I do not.
That is because their daddies ain't
Okay. So, Tracy, you got to calm down a little bit now.
Jesus, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus.
Okay, listen. Here's the deal. All I can do is tell you this. I hope you can make it. Maybe you can catch an earlier bus, you know what I mean, and get there a little earlier. But I'm just stating the facts that as of next Sunday, if you come in late, it's $15 late fee, and that's what you'll pay in order to get in the service.
You know what? Well, maybe next Sunday I just won't be there. How about that? You know, I'm already working 6 days a week. The only day I have off is Sunday. I'm breaking my back. Do you know I work two jobs? I work two jobs, and they always trying to take money out of my check, always trying to pull me here and there, and I'm always tired. I get 2 hours of sleep, and then now the church wants to dump another $15 charging me for being at church when that's what I'm supposed to do?
But you're coming in late, though, Sister Tracy.
You know what? You know what? Late ain't bad, okay? I might be delayed, but I ain't denied, and I'm getting there the best way that I know how. We're on the bus. I have to put my kids on the school bus. And not only did I have to put them on the school bus, then I have to get on the bus myself to work because I don't have a car because their daddies ain't doing nothing for them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I need to Daddy number one, guess what? He ain't. Daddy number two, he in jail, been there about 5 years. He ain't. And daddy number three, he decided to go ahead and walk out. I ain't heard from that trifling in about 7 months. Now, he know we struggling. He had the nerve to take my wallet, too. You don't even understand what I'm going through. You don't even understand that I'm trying to make a better life for me and my children.
There is one more thing, Sister Tracy, that the church wants you to know before next Sunday that you definitely need to know.
And what one more thing does the church want me to know besides $15?
The church just wants you to know that this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your sister Patrice got me to prank phone call you.
I am going to whoop her. I'm going to whoop her. I'm going to whoop her. She know I ain't got time for that. She know I ain't got time for that. Oh, Patrice.
Yeah, girl, your sister got you. You all right?
Oh, I got something for her. How about that?
She told me, she said, my sister car broke down. She said she got these kids. She over there struggling. She trying to make it. But you got to give her a hard time. She just wanted. She wanted to put a smile on your face.
Well, she did. Well, once things settled, I'm going to have to say she did.
Okay. You all right?
Wow. Now that I know y'all were joking, and now I know this is Nephew Tommy.
Hey, I got to ask you something, baby. What's the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby.
There it is, church fees. Huh?
Hey, you're going to keep messing with these church people.
Oh, man.
Okay. They weren't always Christian.
Don't let the state fool you.
And a lot of them, I can't run it because they lose all their Christians.
So, where are you going next, nephew?
West Palm Beach, Florida! Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm at West Palm Beach, Florida.
Love
I'm going to be
there.
Funny. Uh-huh. I'm going to be stupid. But I'm going to also be butter clean. I promise you, I'm going to be just butter clean.
Mm.
Butter clean, funny, and stupid all at the same time. That's right. That's the nephew. You just, I'm a genius, you know?
That's why you were going to Baby's R Us.
I'm so, wow. What? Oh. Did you just say?
What happened?
There it is.
That's why.
Babies are us.
You were getting your... Well, they have...
Baby Gap.
Yeah.
Oshkosh. Yeah. Tom Thumb. All these are for Busta Brown.
Right.
You don't know.
I know you said
that. Geranimals.
Stop. Yeah, Tom Thumb. Come on.
I knew you said that, but I didn't get it. Now, okay, see, okay, I got it.
Curly, you're going to stop. Because you're the one that starts this. Then you get the egg in it on. I didn't tell you now.
And then it comes all from
last week. I'm stayed
a different
out of
person
it.
In 2018.
I didn't say one word last week.
But you're trying to push buttons. Stop. Both all of y'all, stop it.
Ain't nobody said nothing but Shirley. What is all y'all?
I'm giving you the pop team twing. Who said that?
That's me. That's a fire. She fired at you.
And hit.
Shots fired.
Going to be
clean. It's just a sound effect.
I'm on team Tommy. You're going to be clean, Tommy.
You're going to be clean.
Thank you. I'm going to be clean. He don't know I got a different kind of wardrobe in 2018.
All right. Coming up at the top of the hour, today's Strawberry Letter. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Strawberry Letter. The Strawberry Letter is up next. And wait till you hear this crazy letter. But first, our president, President Trump, defended himself in the wake of the recent disparaging comments about Haiti and African nations, declaring that President Trump said, "I am not a racist." He also said, no, I am not a racist. He told reporters, "I am the least racist person you have ever interviewed."
See, he needs to change that statement.
That I can tell you.
He needs to change that statement to, "I am the racist person."
The most.
Now, just take the word least out.
Yeah.
I am the racist person you ever meet.
That I can tell you.
That I can tell you.
If you have to tell people you're not a racist.
Yes.
Yeah. But they, when he did that MLK dedication on a Friday before he left for Mar-a-Lago, that's what they were asking him as he was leaving. President Trump, are you a racist?
But you know, racists hate to be called racist. They really do. They don't want to own up to it. They just know.
This one president, doesn't. it's just my opinion. I think he does not know the definition of racism. And I think that this has been the norm for him for so long. And no one's ever called him on it. Because in his circle, and I'm telling you, these circles exist. This is just the norm. So he's absolutely 100% correct in his mind when he's saying he's not a racist.
But surely
he's
knows.
He's saying what these people and he played golf with. Country clubs, board meetings, Wall Street, he's saying what they say.
But he has to have an idea, some concept of what it is.
An idea how? Let me explain something to you. Let me say this. He didn't grow up around no minorities, ever.
Right.
Never went to school with them. Mm-hmm. Knows nothing about them. He has never been a servant of the people. He knows nothing about them. He has no common friends, nor has he ever had any common friends. It ain't no remember where you come from conversation with this guy. Because when he remembers where he come from, it's always been good. So you're asking a guy who knows nothing about real life as most of us know it to relate to real life people. He's out of touch. We have a president for the first time who is completely out of touch and don't know it and has enough money not to care.
So next time, instead of asking him, President Trump, are you a racist?
Just say, you're a racist.
Or do you know what it means to be a racist?
How does it feel to be a racist, President Trump?
But Steve says he has no concept of it. I mean,
he knows.
He has
He knows exactly what he's doing.
He doesn't think that he is one. Yeah.
Once again, this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you my thoughts after I've really been looking at this and listening to everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
We can call him a racist all we want.
It doesn't matter.
Change.
It's not. Yeah. Now that
really, you and I talked about that.
Right. It's not. Yeah. Every
so
day we
I'm
wake
just
up,
looking at the reality. I think of where he is and where he's coming from with all of this. Right. And you got three more years of this.
Yeah. He really proved it on the campaign trail.
I don't think he's gonna make three, Steve.
All right, Tommy.
Gout's going to get him.
Let's go, Tommy. We got to get to the letter.
The gout, though.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, a strawberry letter.
Subject to shack or not to shack. I am 25 years old and just graduated from college. I just started my career in August with a great company. I've only been with a company for 5 months and just found out that I'm pregnant. My boyfriend of 3 years is currently living out of state, but has just accepted a position with an equally great company near me. We have already been discussing him moving up here and us getting married in the future, but now that I'm pregnant, we decided to move the wedding date up to next year. Now here's the issue. He wants me to move in with him since I'm pregnant. He is very adamant about having his family all under one roof. My family is telling me not to move in with him because we are not yet married. His family, on the other hand, is saying we should move in together because we are going to be a family. Now, I do not doubt for a minute that he is going to marry me. I have known him for 4 years now, and I know him to be a man of his word. He said to me, if I'm asking you to move in with me, it's because I am ready to make that next step. And I truly believe that he is. But we have still decided to wait until next year to make that next step. Some of my family said that we should go to the courthouse. We should just go to the courthouse. But I feel like we will be doing that just so I can move in with him. And we already decided to wait until next year. We have a place set up, and we have been looking at rings and discussing our budget for everything. Also, I do not want to rush to do everything at once. He's starting a new job, moving to a new area, and we're having a baby. Then adding getting married and moving in together all at the same time. I know we already have 3 out of 5 going on, but I'm afraid of adding more stress because we really do not know what we're getting into. We're only 25 years old. I'm stuck at a crossroads because no matter what decision I make, I will be disappointing someone. I know it's my life and I have to make my own decisions, but all my life I have been the good one. I've always done what I was told, always strove to make everyone around me happy with my actions and decisions. I do not want to begin feeling like me getting pregnant is destroying everyone else's life. This is truly a blessing, even though it was not done the traditional way. I know he still plans on marrying me either way, but I will cause a lot of strain, but it will cause a lot of strain in our relationship if I do not move in. And thinking about our future, I do not want to cause any extra stress on our relationship. I think we have enough as it is right now with distance, pregnancy, marriage, and soon a baby. So my question is, should I move in with him and upset my family or not move in with him and upset my soon-to-be family? Okay, you know, here's my answer just like this. You are 25. You're a grown woman. You only have to answer to yourself and God as far as I'm concerned. I think your family and his family are way too into the business. You guys do have a lot going on. The pregnancy, distance, new careers, etc. You say you know he's a man of his word. He says he wants all his family under one roof. He's ready to make the next step. Under other circumstances, you know, I would say, yeah, wait for a ring and a proposal. But this is different. You know, you didn't do it the traditional way. You are making wedding plans, baby plans, and career plans. Life is moving fast for you. Stop worrying about disappointing anyone. You have to do what's right for you and your family now. So if you guys love each other and are committed, then I say move with him, get married, and start your lives together. The end. Steve?
Yeah.
Doggy?
I see it a little bit different here.
I know you do.
Third. My whole answer be when I come back. I see it totally different. I see something. Well, I see what Shirley's seeing in it, and she's right. I see something else, though.
Well, you
need
always
to go
do.
Get to this.
Yeah.
Quinn, is I'm on?
No, you're coming up.
In a
you
minute.
Coming up next. 12
okay,
minutes after
be
out.
Right. 12 after the end.
All right, we'll have part 2 of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's get to part 2 of your response to today's strawberry letter.
Which is really
long.
Kind of a see-through for me. Yada, 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 yada. I'm going to just tell you what I think. Let me just get to this. This whole thing is a mess. Sister, what do you want?
Right.
In all of this mess, what do you want? You know, you simplify all of this with what you want. It don't sound to me like you know what even you want because you've admitted you've lived your whole life according to other people's whims and wishes. And now I don't hear nothing in here about what you want. It sound to me like you scared to get married. If you're pregnant, look, you got this new position. You only been there 5 months. Now you know you're pregnant. Now, let me just throw this at you. As what they say, politically correct as this world tries to be, you on a brand new job with a great company. All of a sudden, you pregnant and ain't married. Mm-hmm. the old fogey population frowns on that even today. Now, your man moving to the area wants you to move in with him. You fighting that because you don't want to add no stress to the relationship. Then on top of all of this, you say, we only 25. We don't even know what we're getting into. This whole letter is one confusing statement after the next. What you need to do, young lady, is find out for yourself what it is you want. Why are you delaying a marriage and you already 5 months pregnant? Do you not get it yet? Life is not ever going to be perfect. There's no perfect time, right. No perfect situation. See, what life do is life just keep dealing them cards. Life don't care if you tired of getting them. Life don't care if you don't get all aces. You just going to get your cards. It's your turn. Life just deals the card. And when it come around your turn, you get your next card. Ready or not, here come the card. Ready to get married or not, here comes the proposal. Ready for the baby or not, here you are pregnant. Ready to be with this man or not, he moving to a city up there near you. All of this. Your family don't want it to happen. His family do want it. To hell with everybody. What do you want? Do you know that you are the most important cog in this wheel right now?
I know.
Do you know that you are the one that is pregnant right now? Mm-hmm. Do you know that you are the one that is going to have to carry the baby? Do you know that you are the one that's going to have to suffer any ridicule from anybody on your job wondering how you got pregnant without being married? See, since you're in such a good company, because good company full of good people that think they better than most people who think they righteous. So now, get ready for the ridicule. Because guess what? That's coming too. Now, is it fair? No. But that's just the way human beings are. How she done set up here and got herself pregnant, just got this job 5 months, got all this education, ain't got enough sense to protect herself. Who is this man? The people at the company ain't met your boyfriend because guess what? Y'all live in a faraway place. So now they going to pass judgment on you whether you want them to or not. That, oh, I'm going to get married. He love me. Who is he? Now, all they going to be saying at the company party this Christmas is, where he at? Who is he?
Uh-huh.
If the man want to marry you and move in, look, let me say, good enough to move in with you, good enough to marry.
Exactly.
You might as well just go on and get with it, baby.
Welcome to adulthood.
Ready or not, here it is.
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And please, please, please join me this Thursday, for we are back with the after show Strawberry Letter live on Facebook at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, last night, we talked about this earlier, was the 49th annual NAACP Image Awards, hosted by our good friend Anthony Anderson. Jordan Peele was the big winner for his movie, Get Out. Danny Glover received the Presidential Award for his professional and philanthropic achievement. And here's some more highlights from last night's NAACP Image Awards. Take a listen.
And the Image Award goes to Octavia Spencer, Gifted.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to
my padre, Anthony Anderson, Blackish.
And the NAACP Image Award belongs to HU's Taraji P. Henson from Empire.
And the NAACP Image Awards goes to Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yes!
And the Image Award goes to
Omari Hardwick. Power.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to
Blackish.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to
Power.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to
my man Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out.
And the NAACP Image Award goes to Girls Trip.
And the winner of the NAACP Entertainer of the Year, sponsored by Ford, is Ava DuVernay.
What a great show it was last night.
Yes.
I mean, just classy, beautiful. Your girl was there.
You see that? That dress. Did you see that dress?
Halle
had on.
Oh my God. She looked beautiful.
God, dog.
Halle Berry could be in a movie where it's just no words, no music. Just Halle Berry.
Just what?
Yeah.
Halle Berry.
It don't matter.
What, Steve?
The way
Halle
you
Berry's
said
black.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw
Well,
that
there's
out
always
there.
That one, Steve.
Wow.
Really now?
Yeah, you got an exception.
One and a half. Yeah, she's
all right. Oh, because she's half?
Well, and she's half white. She is.
Yeah, she is.
So I'm not wrong for going over there.
Her mother is white.
And I just, I'm liking the white side.
When I see
her. When I'm liking her, I'm liking all the white
on,
side.
Jay, talk about
you
it.
Sexy
bro.
To
get
me.
It out there, Jay.
Yeah. You've never been so.
Meme, get your boy.
Yeah, I didn't.
You're the worst.
There's another side of her? No.
You
I'm
just
liking
side.
The white side.
You tied with Tommy for two dumbest decisions I've ever made.
Okay, let me put this like this.
You
I'm
you
sure
wouldn't go with Hallie?
I'm sure
hold on,
you
hold
break
stop,
it.
Jay.
Oh,
yeah, half.
No Hallie still upstate? Hallie?
Dog,
come on.
Hallie Berry is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes,
it is his comments
yes.
about he likes the white side of her.
He didn't even know it was another
where
side.
Where you just really go, are you for real?
Okay, now let me show you how everybody in here is guilty of this. You go to get chicken, they ask you, do you like white meat or dog meat? You got
and
a choice.
I always say you, dog meat.
I got dog meat.
Dog,
but
legs and
thighs, always, right?
But you don't eat white meat every now and then? I rest my case.
It's too dry.
You better step down. You better step down.
Look at this wings up in here. Coming up at 41 after the hour, little times you panic.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Jay, come on now. What is this little
this,
times you
we
panic?
We all experience these little things, little nuances that you panic for like just a little bit. You're not really. For instance.
Okay, yeah.
You order a pizza. Pizza's on the way. Pizza man gets there. Okay. You can't find your money. Oh, my God.
But you keep telling him to hold on.
Yeah, you got
to hold on.
Hold on, dude. Hold on, man. I got money,
small
man.
Panic. Small
yeah.
panic.
Yeah. You already told him cash, so you didn't say charge. You said, I'm going to pay cash.
Uh-huh.
He's standing out there thinking you stupid, right?
Yeah.
You already said, you know, just stuff like this. Little
times you panic.
Yeah, a little times you panic, yeah.
Like for instance, like when it's daytime
uh-huh.
and you didn't fell asleep
uh-huh.
with the night, you didn't woke up, started getting dressed to go to work.
Oh, my God.
You know, oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Everybody on the shift has
done everybody has
that's
done
that's when I first started working here. Mm-hmm. I woke up. It was night. 6:41 p.m. Mm-hmm.
I was in traffic.
Oh, my God. I said, Uncle Steve going to fire me day two.
I'm like, why is nobody on the highway? Because it's Saturday, fool.
You ever been with
okay, I got one for
people?
You, Jay.
Go ahead,
when you at work,
uh-huh.
reach for a bottle of water that you thought was yours,
uh-huh.
and it wasn't,
ooh.
And realize it's the nasty person that
oh,
worked
at
the God, dog, yeah. I just drunk out this damn bottle.
It's time to panic. Yeah.
Any Clorox in the bottle.
Yeah. That's not a little panic. That's a lot of panic.
I'm finna gargle with it, Carla.
And they standing there looking at you.
Kikiing.
What's wrong with me?
Come on, Steve. What you got?
You remember when you was little, you used to be playing in the flow and you was doing something wrong and you turn around and your mama was standing
there? Yes, yes, blow it.
Good Lord, Jesus.
You just putting on your best show.
Man.
You just playing your behind. Oh, man. And you, for me, I turn around and see that fat leg. Oh, Lord, I knew Ann Lee Brown was standing there, man. Oh, my God. Okay. Little times you panic.
Uh-huh.
These are little times you have little nervous breakdowns.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You go to the doctor,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
You got your clothes on. He's standing behind you, and he's looking at your chart, and you hear him go, What the hell you mean,
Yeah, that's a mini breakdown.
That's a mini.
Yeah.
What the hell you mean,
What the hell I'm about? You tell me, I'm in
that's here. That's to me, man.
Man.
Something about to fall off.
Yeah. I'll tell you one that got my entire family. I don't know if this happened for y'all, but on holidays, there's one kid that nobody wanted to have that steal. We have been praying over Thanksgiving dinner. What was that? Anybody seen Johnny?
And you can't find him?
Because you can't find him? Everybody get nervous because something missing.
Yeah.
He just stole somebody's purse, wallet, keys. Where's Johnny? Forget the prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer started off Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here today on this thing. Oh, where's Johnny? Where's Johnny?
Come on, Neff.
You ever be driving your car, come over the hill, you rolling a little bit too fast, police sitting there, then all of a sudden they lights come on, God dog.
Yes. Yes.
You think they after you and they
You
ain't?
Think they after you and then they pass by you. Oh, Lord. Oh God. Yeah. Oh God. Oh Jesus. I need to slow down.
I haven't had that. Every black man experienced that.
Yeah. Oh. God.
Getting your story together before they pull you
Yeah, you trying to get it together.
See, that's interesting because the one I had was similar to that. But you ever been pulled over by the police and they ask you for your driver's license and they go back to the car, then they come back and they say, step out the car, please.
Whoa.
Right there.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, this ain't gonna go good.
Man, God. That step out the car, your that heart step out the car, man.
Yes. Once you have to get out the car, like you start thinking about what does he know that I did a long time ago.
Step out the car.
What was here's one. All right. Here's one. Okay. All right. Let me see. All right. All right. Let me see. You go to the beauty shop, right? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
You go to the beauty shop to get your hair done, and she knows automatically that you've been going someplace else to get your hair done.
Oh,
she
yeah.
knows right away.
Uh-huh.
She knows right away.
Who been in your head?
Yeah.
Who been doing your
head? She knows her work.
Yep. She knows her work. Yeah.
Shout out to my girl, Tracy.
Tracy.
Hey, Donna. Love you, Tracy.
This is not my work. What you talking about?
Yeah. Even better yet, one of that gets me nervous, though, my little panic moment. When I'm on the highway doing 60, and the gas light come on, but you ain't nowhere near gas.
Oh, my God, that is so scary,
Lord,
man.
I'm just driving like I got a full tank of gas. It is a rule of thumb that when the gas light come on, you have to break it down under 20.
And don't we all hate buying gas? Y'all I hate pumping gas, man. Yeah.
Such an idiot.
Oh, hold on. Well, we do.
I do.
I'm glad I'm married now.
I know I'm
Steve. Here's a little
panic
for you.
Steve had no idea.
Excuse me.
He ain't pump gas.
No, he ain't pump gas.
So he said pump gas. He got caught.
Yeah. He has no idea.
Now, some of these panics may not apply to Steve. Okay?
You ever been in a woman house and a husband come home? That's a little panic, you know. That's
wow.
Now you under the bed 3 hours naked, and you gotta wait on him to leave.
Well, you
get your neck.
Yeah.
Get your neck.
Okay,
come on.
Close it up.
You walk in the house, and your wife say, "I got something I want you to see."
If she ain't got it in her hand and laughing, you don't know what this is.
Go ahead.
When your wife say her phone dead, she want to use yours.
Whoa, Lord. Oh, hell what? No. That's when you take it out your pocket and step on it.
On that
step
note,
right on it.
We got to go.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, all you football lovers out there, I'm going to go take a break right here. The road to the big game.
You don't like football, you just don't like it.
The road to the big game is a little less crowded now. All right, guys, you can talk NFL playoffs here. Go ahead. Have at it.
No, don't be so excited about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, guys. Go ahead, guys.
That was a heartbreaker. That game they lost,
the Saints
game, that took the win out of
Saints
everything.
And
that one hurt.
Come on, Steve.
That one hurt.
It was
man.
You know, I've been watching sports my whole life.
Uh-huh.
I've seen Hail Marys before.
Uh-huh.
I watched the Oakland Raiders and Pittsburgh Steelers when Terry Bradshaw threw it. They batted the ball down.
Mm-hmm.
It hit somebody's foot, and Franco Harris scooped it up inches before it hit the ground and ran it in. But this was different. They were on defense, and they had one job, and that was to just tackle this man.
Yes.
I could not believe when he went up that this dude went and then went like
went
he was
under.
Trying to duck and avoid him, and then knocked over the only other player that could have tackled him.
Yeah, that's the part that got me.
I mean, just took his own man out, the only other dude who would have had a chance at catching him. The way they lost, and then to come back all that far, they was down 21-0. To make Brees the comeback, Drew Brees bring them back. They get the field goal. They up. They winning. All they got to do, and even if he had tackled him in bounds, it was not enough time for them to get up there and kick that ball.
No, it was not.
It was unbelievable. When I turned and he started running, I said, you got to be.
Come on.
You got to be. That's the first word out of my mouth.
How are things at your house, Carla, with Tosh loving the Saints like he does?
Let me tell you, Steve texted and said, tell Tosh, don't kill himself. I thought I was going to have to take him to the emergency room.
Man, seriously, I text Carla as soon as it happened. I said, tell Tosh, don't kill himself.
Yeah. But that will be a play, though.
I've changed watching sports. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to let it ruin my Monday. It would destroy me.
Wow.
The next day. I've been with the Browns too long. Let that happen.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Last time they messed up my day was when Ernest Biner fumbled that ball.
Oh, man.
In that damn end zone.
In the end zone.
And then the other last time, Brian Sipe threw that damn interception against the Broncos. Against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And threw that interception to Ozzie Newsome. And Ozzie Newsome, they threw the after that, I quit caring.
When you lose a game like that, how long does that stay with you? Forever?
This young boy with New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Marcus Williams.
He's going to suffer from that one. Yeah. Because he faced the media like a man, and he made a mistake. But, man, he cost them. It was an untimely mistake. He cost them a trip to the championship.
Wow.
Yeah. Y'all got some big picks coming up, though, Cleveland, though.
It don't matter. Yeah. We don't know how to pick, so what do
you don't you have the number one?
We got the number one.
I think,
one
like, number one and number four.
Maybe y'all pick another
and watch
Johnny Manziel.
Get some people you ain't never heard of. Watch us pick some people that nobody else would have picked.
With the first pick the Cleveland Browns select, Calvin Richardson.
Who?
Who? Who is that? Who is that?
Offensive tackle from Nebraska.
What? Hey, man, we need a quarterback.
Meanwhile,
and then
Colin
the Browns
Kaepernick
logic is, well, you need somebody
there
to protect that quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, we do get him.
Wow.
So how does the coach keep his job if he's that bad?
This coach has no business working right now. Hugh Jackson, I'm sorry, and I've tried not to say that, but I just can't help but say it. He's won one game in 2 years. Uh-huh. They are 1-31.
Yeah.
Even I know that.
He's supposed
terrible
to be gone.
Yeah, sure. You know that's
Now,
he's supposed to be gone.
If, say, me, Junior, and Tommy, we've done one joke in 2 years, would we?
No.
Out
of here.
Would he understand?
Yeah, would you be as understanding?
On the radio and the TV.
In 2 years, you get one joke out of him.
There's no way.
Would this be testing our friendship?
Wow.
There's no way. There's no way.
But, Steve, I want to ask you, what did you think about Jacksonville beating the Steelers?
That
Duval,
was an upset.
Nephew.
That was horrible, too.
Yeah.
Nobody I thought would win won.
Oh, none
I
of
thought
your
the
picks?
Steelers would win. Uh-huh. I thought that I knew the Steelers were going to win. I knew that that I was hoping the Saints would win.
Yeah.
And then who played the Eagles the other day?
Atlanta.
Yeah. Atlanta. The Falcons
I knew Atlanta was going to win because their regular quarterback ain't in there. I knew it. I've been wrong. So now, I knew that the Patriots was not going to let the Titans come up there and win.
No,
I knew that.
Right.
But I was hoping that the upset of the year.
I wanted them to beat them.
And now, man, I don't know who going to win the Super Bowl, and I damn near don't care.
That's what people are
exactly
saying.
Exactly.
Oh, I might not care about this.
Except for Philly, though.
I want to see Brady lose. I really don't.
Yeah,
I'm not a Brady.
Oh, I want Brady to lose in a worse
so bad,
way.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, come on, Jacksonville.
Philly
come
got
on,
a
Duval
defense. You all right, Shirley? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you all caught up now, Shirley?
I'm still stuck on Cleveland.
That coach.
In 2 years, yeah. One game.
Right. Wow. I mean, it's interesting when you guys talk about it like this. Yeah.
Yeah, the game ball for one game in 2 years. Yeah.
So who could possibly be in the Super Bowl then?
Philly or Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jacksonville or the Patriots.
I hope Jacksonville.
We will find that out this Sunday.
Jacksonville plays who this Sunday?
Championship Sunday. The Patriots.
The Patriots, New England.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, they're always in it, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of want to give it to them now. Just quit all this playing. Yeah.
More of the craziness at 20 after.
Cleveland.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
A new study suggests that writing a to-do list before bed could improve sleep. Okay?
It does. It really does.
Oh, it really does? Really?
I got this from Steve. Steve has said, you know, write it out. And it really does help. You know what you're going to do when you wake up.
Oh, okay.
You have an idea of how your day's going to go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. And then you see yourself accomplish stuff. I did this one. I never finished the whole damn list, but I'm just saying, you know, you get a start at it.
Because I do write lists, but not right before I go to bed. Yes. I mean, I don't have a set time to do them. I'll say that. All right. Study participants who spent 5 minutes writing a list of things they had to get done fell asleep 9 minutes faster than those who wrote a list of things they already accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
It is believed that making a to-do list may offload those concerns, resulting in less worry before bed. All right. A study out of Baylor University split 57 university students into two groups, with both groups asked to take 5 minutes before bed to make a list. One group was tasked with writing a list of all the things they had to get done in the day or days ahead, while the other had to write a list of what they completed the previous day. Both groups were told to go to bed right after making their lists. So, Steve, here's your question. Do you have trouble sleeping? Are you constantly kept up worrying about things you have to get done? We think
we
know the answer.
Sometimes, you know, I do have trouble sleeping about the worries of, you know, my life, what I need to do, what I'm trying to accomplish. You know, I have moments like that. It's not often, but I do have moments like when I have it, it's usually the reason.
Okay.
I don't know what else you're trying to accomplish.
You trying to figure out these champagne problems, Tommy.
Does he need to accomplish?
Do I need another jet or?
A lot that I'm trying to accomplish.
What's on your dream board this year, dog?
Good question.
Get your feelings
to revamp and reorganize my company to make it more efficient. One of my goals is to hire really top flight people, because I've been generous to a fault. I've given people opportunities who've taken advantage of that. And then, you know, I feel sorry for their families and stuff, and I keep them on way past when they should be gone. And for the first time, I'm having a system put in place where people are accountable for accomplishing certain things. And if you don't, then you lose your job yourself. And it takes the onus off of me having to fire somebody. If you don't perform up to the requirements, then you lose your position.
So will you actually tell them, or you have someone in your you have someone to say you're fired?
I hear it.
Why would you be fired?
Go ahead.
I mean,
Steve.
I have things in place now where I'm not so bogged down with the technical aspects of my life. And that's one of the things that I've been doing wrong for years. I've been involved in every aspect of my life, which helps me because I want to have it's just too much.
Kind of like micromanaging in terms of being involved in everything.
Right. I don't micromanage because I do give people the freedom, but in giving them that freedom, they've taken advantage of my busyness. And so now they know I'm busy, so they never perform. And they just keep getting their check. You know what woke me up? I realized, I said, in my company, I'm the only person who has to come to work. Other people can miss. I have to perform, and I have to make the grade. Other people don't have. I have no one else in my company has to do that. That stops in 2018. That's on the dream board.
Does that answer your question, nephew?
Yes, it does.
All right. All right, we're going to talk about the president when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Steve, You wanted to talk about your thoughts on what the president had to say.
You know what? I've listened to everybody say everything about it. Mm-hmm. And the big question, and one of the reporters, as he was finishing up a speech, she yelled out, "Mr. President, are you a racist?" And he kept walking. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that on the caption of CNN. I've seen other leaders from the world say he's a racist. I've seen Van Jones, Bakari Sellers, all of them. And they're correct in what they're saying. When he says on the other side, "I'm the least racist person you'll ever interview." You know what, man? This guy is different, because let me tell you why. First of all, I really, truly believe in my heart that Donald Trump does not know the definition of racism.
Mm, you don't think so?
I don't think he knows the definition of racism, because he is convinced in his heart of heart that that's not him. He has no concept of the definition of racism. Mm. He doesn't know he's over there. He thinks that because he can say this or say that, or he feels this and that, that's not racist. It's the norm for people like this.
Oh, I see.
It's the norm. Like, it doesn't have a title to it of racism. It's the norm for people like this. Now, I think that people should call a spade a spade. I think that people should call him out. But I'm looking at this guy and getting him a little bit more and more and more. Like, I'm still shocked at what he does and says. You know, these people are killing me talking about, I'm never shocked at what he says. You got to be. You have
How
to
can
be.
You not be?
It's impossible not to be stunned at the way this is going and have the title President of the United States attached to your name. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. Uh-huh. And that's what it carries. Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton. It carries that. You would think he would act up to that, but he is incapable of acting up when he's been acting this way for 70 years with money. This man has never had a poor day in his life. Bill Clinton understands what it is to be middle class and below. Barack Obama was a servant of the people. Jimmy Carter, peanut farmer. These people have an idea. He does not have a clue. Another thing about him, he knows nothing about the history of our country. Hmm. So get this. This is my answer. He thinks he's not a racist, and he does not know anything about the history of our country. He can't. He can't possibly. He doesn't read. Everybody says that. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
If this country had not forcibly removed millions of Africans from their homeland, who came over here and built this country at absolutely no cost to those American people, his forefathers, at no cost to them, but who paid the ultimate price. They freedom, they life, they dignity, they culture, they education, all of it stripped, family stripped, gone, sold.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are, last break of the day. Steve, your closing remarks are back. What you got for us today?
You know, in light of the comments that this president has made, the things that this president has said, in light of social media, in light of all of you, which is almost everybody listening, who has to deal with haters from time to time, let me just say this. You can be surprised at what the president says, or you can be one of those who say, "I'm not surprised at all. I knew it." You can claim to have known this. How anyone could have known this quality of president is beyond me. This level of unpresidentialness is beyond me, how you could have known that. But if you want to claim that, I'm okay with that. Go ahead. But whether it's him, whether it's social media, whether it's haters, you can listen to it. But moving forward, I'm not going to stop and address it. I'm not going to stop going where I'm headed to stop along the way and deal with something that has no bearing on where I'm headed. As unpresidential as this man is, he has no bearing on where you're headed. He really don't, unless you allow him to have that. Well, I disagree with you, Steve. This is my closing remarks. And you're okay to disagree with this. But Martin Luther King said it best. He said, a man can't ride your back unless you bend over. I'm not bending over in 2018. I'm not allowing the president, social media, haters, or anybody, and I'm inviting all of you to join along. They can't ride your back unless you bend over. Stand tall. Stay up. Don't allow these people to stop you. Don't allow these people to determine your outcome. See, here's the problem with stopping along the way. See, the problem with stopping along the way is it slows your progress. And ain't that one of the beautiful tricks of the devil? The devil is so smart, man. He knows what to do. He'll throw a curveball your way that really has no bearing on where you're going, really has no truth to it, and you wind up occupying time devoted to it, which is now slowing you from going where you're headed. Don't do it in 2018. That president that's in the White House, that man will not determine your outcome. He just doesn't. They're not making policy up in the White House for our benefit. But then let me ask you, when have they? Oh, we've had some stuff come down, you know, affirmative action, you know, which they took that back. You know, we've had, you know, some things come down. The Civil Rights Voting Act, which you have to re-vote for every year. They take that back if they could. We've had a lot of things that have come. The health care, they're trying to rescind that. You know, we've had some stuff that could have really benefited us. But at the end of the day, we are the determining factor as to how far we go in life. And stop lending yourself to this president, to hatred, to social media, to people's opinion of you. Stop lending yourself to those things and keep going where you are headed. In 2018, stop breaking for foolishness. You know how you see people with the bumper sticker, "I break for animals"? You know, get you a new bumper sticker that say, "I don't break for fools. I don't pump my brakes no more for fools. I have no time for foolishness. I don't care what your opinion of me is. You're wrong anyway." You know how many times people say things about you that are really so far off base from the truth? So why give it time? You don't even, most of your haters don't even really know you. And then you get the most hate from somebody that you tried to help. That's the other part. But because now their life ain't turned out where they wanted to be, now you at fault for that. So now here come the hate. Don't break for fools in 2018. Keep your feet on the gas pedal. I might make that my new thing. 2018, I break for no foolishness. Feel how you want to feel about me in 2018. Because the only opinion of me that really matters is how God feels about me. Now, I'm not saying it's not important how your spouse feels about you or your children or so forth and so on, but I'm not saying that. But when it comes to haters, you know you cannot matter to me. You can't. Your job simply is to hate. You work for the devil. You're an imp. And the devil has millions of imps who are busy 24/7. They got fake screen names. When you go on their page to try to see who they are that says something about you, all their pages is private. What? How big of a coward can you be? You're going to say something about me, but you ain't man or woman enough to say who you are. Man, bump you. Get out of here. Hey, y'all, in 2018, don't break for foolishness. Let it go. Keep moving forward. God got a great life for you. You just got to claim it and don't let nobody stop you. Not the haters, not social media, and not your president. Okay? Y'all have a great weekend.
All right, Steve.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.